"I trust we don't intrude, my dear," says Spring, throwing open the door. "I've brought Mr. Sullivan to tea and our new supercargo, Mr. Flashman." I don't know what I expected, but it wasn't the mild-looking, middle-aged woman sitting behind a table, picking at a sampler, who beamed at us pleasantly and then set to pouring tea. Presently, Comba came in, smoothing his hair, and the grizzled old second mate, Kinney, who ducked his head to me when Spring made us known to each other. Mrs. Spring handed over cups, and we stood round, sipping and nibbling at our biscuits while she beamed and Spring talked. "Mr. Flashman has had the beginning of an education, my dear," says he. "He was with Dr. Arnold at rugby school." She turned a placid face in my direction.
"Mr. Spring is a classical scholar," says she. "His father was a senior fellow."
"Senior tutor, if you please, my dear," says Spring. "And it's my belief he achieved that position by stealing the work of better men. Scholarship is merely a means to an end these days, and paucis carior est fides quam pecunia. You remember Sallust, Mr. Comber? Few do not set a higher value on money than on good faith. No? There seems to be little to choose between the ignorance of rugby and of Winchester College." "Oh-ho," thinks I, "Winchester, that accounts for a lot. However, if we have some leisure on this voyage, we may repair these things, may we not, Mr. Flashman?" I mumbled something about being always eager to learn. "Aye," says he, "pars sanitatis velle sanare fuit. The wish to be cured is itself a step towards health. We may hope. But I imagine Seneca is yet another among the many authors with whom you are not acquainted. Tell me, sir, what do you know?"
I stole a glance at the others. "Well, sir," says I, "not very much." And then, like a fool, I added, toady-like, "not as much as a fellow of Oriel College, I'm sure." Comber's cup clattered suddenly. Spring says, very soft,
"I'm not a fellow, Mr. Flashman. I was dismissed."
"I'm very sorry, sir," says I.
"You well may be," says he. "You may come to wish that I was in my rightful place, sir, instead of here."
His voice was rising and his scar going crimson. He set his cup down with a force that rattled the table.
"Herding with the carrion of the sea, sir, instead of... Damn your eyes, man! Look at me! You think it a matter for contempt, don't you, that a man of my intellect should be brought to this? You think it a jest that I was flung into the gutter by jealous liars? You do! I see it in your..."
"No, no, indeed, sir," cries I, quaking. "I was expelled myself. I don't..."
"Hold your confounded tongue," he bawled. "You can't do right for doing wrong, can you? Well, I warn you, Mr. Flashman, I'll remind you of another text from Seneca, whom you don't bloody well read, damn your ignorance. Gravis ira regum semper. The anger of kings is always severe. Mr. Comber will construe it for you. He'll tell you that a captain is to be feared as much as a king." And he thumped the table. "Mrs. Spring, you'll excuse me!"
And he burst past me, slamming the door behind him. He left me shaking, and I felt the sweat starting on my forehead.
"May I give you some more tea?" says Mrs. Spring.